position number 21645 for wheel 4.
To my utter amazement, while I was in hospital, they discovered that I was dyslexic. And they couldn't believe that I had been a signalman for all those years being dyslexic, because I read everything backwards and telephone numbers came out the wrong way, and goodness knows what. It's quite extraordinary. But anyway, they decided that I was no longer any use as a signalman, and I was transferred to the Naval Patrol Service. Became a leading patrolman and went to do my training at a fortress at the top of Portsdown Hill in Portsmouth, where the naval patrol service was being trained. And after completing my training, actually I thoroughly enjoyed it. I like being a policeman. And
was this like being a military policeman in the army?
Yes, exactly the same as that. It was a naval policeman, you see? And I used to wear gaiters and white belt and insignias and one thing or another, excuse me, and one thing or another. And on one occasion I had quite an experience. I had to go up to Glasgow, I think it was, and collect a prisoner who had been on, he absconded, and they arrested him for absent without leave. That's what I'm trying to say. And I had to go and collect him and take him down to Wormwood Scrubs. And I was told he was quite a dangerous character, actually. And so I handcuffed him to the luggage rack on the train, all the way down, so no danger of anything, because there were a lot of very nasty characters around in those days. And
did you have to stand up all the time?
No, when I say the luggage rack, it was something by the side of the luggage. No, he didn't. No, he was. I didn't make him do that, but it was some rack somewhere which I handcuffed him to. Anyway, he turned out to be a very nice guy, actually. And when we got down to London, we had to wait quite a long time before there was any transport to Wormwood Scrubs. So we went to the Union Jack Club, and we had a meal. And I thought, well, I don't know what deuce we do now. So I took a risk and took his handcuffs off, and we played snooker all the afternoon. Then I took him into Wormwood Scrubs, which is the most weird experience. You go in and the doors crash behind you and you're in there. Not a very nice experience, I must admit. Anyway, I left him there and went on down to Portsmouth Barracks. But the time came when HMS Nelson, one of our fabulous old battleships, Nelson and Rodney, was due to go to Rosyth dockyard to be broken up. And a skeleton crew was selected to take her up there from Portland. And I was chosen to be one of those. And I don't quite remember the size of the crew, but it was very few in number, really. And we took her up to Rosyth, and I was delegated to stay on board for the weekend. I suppose we arrived on a Friday, and to hand her over to the dockyard mates on the Monday morning. And it was the most extraordinary experience, because I was the only person on board a huge battleship, HMS Nelson, for two whole days and nights. And I never forgotten it. In fact, I slept in the Admiral's quarters, and I could hear the rats running around in the bilges. It was a most eerie, horrible experience, really. Anyway, when I left the ship, I took as a memento one of the gun tampions, which was the decorative coat of arms of the ship, which goes on the end of the guns when they're not in use. And this was one of the 9-inch guns, and the 16-inch ones were so heavy you couldn't even lift them. But I took one of the 9-inch ones, because there were only a few of them, of course. And also I hauled down the commissioning pennant and put it in my pocket and handed it over to the dockyard mates, where she was going to be turned into razor blades, I suppose, eventually, and caught a train back to Portsmouth. And then years later, a great friend of mine called Robin Hobson Hill, who joined up with me and did all his training and went through and got a commission at the same time as my course and one thing or another. And he was in HMS Nelson, which was the then... No, I beg your pardon. He was in HMS Victory, which was the barracks in Portsmouth, which changed its name from Victory to Nelson, because there was a lot of confusion between the Victory ship, the famous old ship, and the Victory barracks. So as there was no longer a naval ship called the Nelson, they renamed the barracks HMS Nelson. And he invited me to the name-changing ceremony, which was quite an extraordinary experience, actually, very unusual, in the barracks. And all the ship's company were there, and they removed all their caps and took off the name HMS Victory off their cap tallies, and replaced them with HMS Nelson and their cap tallies. And all sort of things were conducted. There was a proper service and everything else. And the Admiral, who was in charge of the whole event, I think there was a lunch party afterwards in the wardroom. And I presented the Admiral with the commissioning pennant, which I had hauled down from the original HMS Nelson. And to this day, it is mounted in a big frame case outside the commander's office at HMS Nelson, the barracks, and which is rather nice. And it was an extraordinary experience being on board this huge ship completely on one's own for 2 days. What I was supposed to do, I can't imagine. I was supposed to be a fire watch, I suppose, or something. I don't know what it was all about. Anyway, that was that. And I got back to Portsmouth Barracks, and
this presumably is after the war.
Yes, this was after the war. This was in 1949.
So when did you come out of the Navy?
Well, then I was then sent to HMS Daedalus, the Royal Naval Air Station at Portsmouth, still as a leading patrolman. I was there for a while, doing patrol duties and one thing or another. And then, unfortunately, I heeled over with, I suppose it was fatigue more than anything else. And I was sent to Hasler, the Naval Hospital in Gosport, and diagnosed as having psychoneurosis caused by my various war experiences, I suppose. And in other words, it was known as bomb happy in those days. And
do you think that was a correct diagnosis?
Well, not really, no. Anyway, I get a naval pension, I might add, of the vast sum I was offered of 9 and 8 pence a week. And it has grown over the years and is now £23 a week. And I still get it. I used to, for many years, have to go for sort of medical examination every 5 years. But they discovered there was really nothing matter with me then. But I still keep the pension, which is rather good, and keeps me a beer. And that really was the end of my naval career. Suddenly, having had 9 years of very active and interesting life, really.
So if the psychoneurosis wasn't because of war service, what do you think it was because of?
Oh, well, no, that was caused by war service, oh yes. But it was a very mild thing, and I think they just couldn't think of any other name to give it, really. But I wasn't
So was it basically because of the Cornwall sinking?
Oh, I expect so, yes. The Cornwall... Oh, and of course, one item which I completely forgot, dear, oh dear. Going back to the HMS Hursley, I was in the ship when we were at Tobruk helping the evacuation of Tobruk, and we had the most appalling problems there. We were very badly dive-bombed by Stukas. We had HMS Coventry and quite a number of other light destroyers and one thing or another with us. And Coventry was very badly hit, and we took her in tow. But unfortunately, she was slowly sinking all the time, and we were scared stiff. We were going down, going to drag us down with her. So we had to cut the tow rope, and we lost Coventry, but we kept the survivors and one another. But it was a very unpleasant experience, and how the captain of Hursley and myself, we were the only two on the bridge, I think, how he watched these Stukas coming down and altering course to avoid the bombs as they were being dropped, I shall never forget. And having been bombed pretty severely in the Cornwall not too long beforehand, it didn't do me any good. You know, I was pretty shaken up then.
Was that worse than the Cornwall?
No, not really, no. The Cornwall was desperate. But it was pretty bad. The Hursley was a nasty experience, yes. Very nasty. But we got away with it somehow. We didn't get hit. And these huge bombs were dropping each side of us. And this awful noise of the Stuka bombers. They used to go into a very steep dive with this appalling high-pitched whine. They used to come down at you and pinpoint bombing. Very, very nasty, that was. Very unpleasant.
When the Cornwall was attacked by the Japanese planes, did they come in from all directions or just from one?
They dived straight out the sun at us, the whole lot of them. You couldn't, they were blinded. You couldn't see any of them, really. And as I say, there were 40 of them, I think, attacked us. No, 70, I think it was, attacked us. And we had 40 direct hits, which was an awful lot. We went down in 20 minutes.
Which, of all the ships you served in, is it possible to say which was the happiest ship you served in?
Yes, I think the Cornwall, without a doubt. Though I was only served in her for 2 months, unfortunately, before we were sunk. She was a very, very happy ship, lovely ship, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And as I say, we had this wonderful trip to Australia, which was very pleasant time, because there was no question of any action or anything. I don't know why we really had to escort them, the convoy, because there was nothing in danger out there then. But it was a lovely ship. And also the Oraby, I remember. I liked her and Dido. But as I say, I never stayed in one ship very long. So I never really got to know them. Some people served the whole war in the same ships. It's quite extraordinary how others swapped around. But,
how do you feel now about having served in the Navy in the Second World War?
I'm very proud to have done so, I must say. I've kept up with a lot of chums, and we have a reunion every year on the 5th of April of the Cornwall, which was the day we were sunk, in either Portsmouth or Chatham. And we are having our final reunion this coming year. We're going to wind up the association, which will be exactly 60 years to the day that we were sunk. We decided it's time we pull the plug. There aren't an awful lot of us left now. There's only about 20-odd. And quite a lot out in South Africa still. And we're hoping going to get some of them over for our last reunion. And we heard the other day that the new HMS Cornwall, who has been absolutely wonderful support for all the survivors, is going to come to Portsmouth for 4 days over the period of time we're having our reunion, which is terrific. I went to the actual launching of the new Cornwall by the late Princess Diana, who, in fact, was Duchess of Cornwall. And she was, she launched the ship. And then I went to the commissioning service down in Falmouth, which she came to, and all sorts of times. And I've been to see her two or three times. The captains of Cornwall, who change very regularly now, have been wonderful to all the survivors. They've looked after us and do everything possible to help and come to our reunion and everything else. And it's terrific having them, of course.